You're listening to The Humans We Are with Carola, episode number 50. Hello, my beloved humans. I hope that you are doing great whenever you are listening to this episode and wherever you are. Now, the day this episode airs, I am visiting my mom in the town and the house where I grew up in. I am recording the episode a few days earlier, and we are getting ready to fly out in a couple of days to spend a few days with her. And it's hard for many reasons, and I wanted to share with you my thoughts and sort of like my pep talk, because some of you may have a similar situation. And if you don't have an elderly parent, or you don't have a complicated relationship with any of your parents, this may not be the episode for you, and you may just want to skip it. I am not pretending that what I'm going to share with you is the right approach to a situation like this, but I figured, since I am feeling the need to be so intentional about this visit, and I'm trying to be super present and welcoming of what's true and what's coming up for me, it might help someone else if I share it. So growing up, I never had a close relationship with my mom. I have some theories to explain why that may have been that way, but honestly, there's no way to know for sure why the relationship developed the way it did. One theory that I have is that I was one of those cried out babies, you know, where if I was fed and changed and like not having a fever or anything like that, they would just put me down in my crib to sleep at night or for a nap. And if I cried, they would just let me cry. And eventually I would get tired and fall asleep on my own. So I guess from a very early age, I learned that I couldn't trust my parents or caregivers to be there for me, that I couldn't rely on them for emotional comfort. So naturally, as I grew up, there was like an emotional barrier for me where I never shared emotional stuff with them. I never came to them when I was feeling sad or lonely or scared or anything like that. I remember that our relationship was rather transactional, or maybe practical is a better word, because they gave me a roof, food, clothing, education, medical care when I needed it. All of that was covered, but there wasn't any depth when it came to emotions. There was a lot of intellectual stimulation, but when it came to emotions, there was not very much. And by the way, I'm not trying to judge them negatively, although I for sure believe that's not the best way to raise a child. But I know that there weren't any nefarious intentions on their part. It was just what they knew or what they believed was the best way. And each of my parents individually, they have their own stuff, their own childhood trauma and whatnot. And whatever they experienced themselves made them be the type of parents that they were and have been. So I guess what I'm saying is they didn't set out to abuse me or neglect me intentionally. I don't believe it. I believe that they did and do love me. So I'm not trying to accuse them of any bad intentions or anything like that. And I'll do my best to be fair in this account, because I don't, it's not the point of what I want to share with this episode. Another theory that I have is that when I was a child, and I've shared this on the podcast before, I was molested by a person, not in the family, but I went to a music school after school. And this happened over a period of time because my mom was in charge of picking me up, and she would frequently be late to pick me up. So I would stay alone with this person waiting for my mom to come for me. And I must have been 5 or 6 years old, and I never told anyone. And I guess it's because of what I said before, I never developed that sense that I could count on my parents for protection or for comfort, or I didn't trust them to be there for me. So I just never said anything. And I'm sure that if I had, they would have done something about it, but it didn't occur to me to say anything to them. And I still remember to this day the anger and the rage that I would feel at my mom for being late to pick me up. And she wouldn't understand. She always acted as if she thought I was overreacting, or that I was exaggerating, or that I was too demanding on her. And she didn't have a clue. And she also never asked or never tried to investigate a little bit further why I was having such a seemingly out of proportion reaction to her coming late to pick me up. So I think that contributed to solidify that sense that I was alone and I couldn't trust her or rely on her. So besides those two more concrete reasons, I feel like growing up, we never really connected or had any meaningful conversations. And I always resented that. And I always resented that she was very, very quick to brag about, or what I perceived as bragging about, any accomplishments that I had, and she would share them with her friends. And I felt like she did that to look good in front of her friends. And also, even a few times that I shared something more private, like maybe one time a boy invited me to be his date at prom, and I didn't know if I wanted to go, and I asked her to not say anything to anyone, but of course I found out later that she had told her friends and my father. So there were a few situations like that that I realized that I couldn't share anything that I didn't want to, others to know about. There was also physical punishment, although it's interesting because it only seems bad now when I think back and I think about all the things that happened, and it wasn't right. It was bad. It wasn't good at all. But back then, it just felt normal. I was also parentified a lot. I am the oldest and also the only girl by both of my parents. I was frequently in charge of my younger brothers, and I would look after them or change their diapers, or like all the things that you can imagine. And not that being the oldest or the only girl justifies being parentified, but it was just how it was. And I was also used by both my parents to pass along messages between them, because they just had terrible communication. And I was constantly either serving as a messenger between them both, or just being like a sounding board. And I had to listen to each of them independently complain about the other one. It was not fun at all. So, bottom line, I don't know the exact reasons that I didn't develop a deep relationship with my mom. There might be other mom-daughter pairs out there who had similar situations, and despite that, they have a deep relationship and close relationship. Or maybe there are people who didn't have those situations and still didn't have a close relationship. I don't know. I can only know that we just don't have it, and that I have spent so much time and I've had so much heartache about it too, resisting that reality and being upset and mad and hurt that our relationship wasn't like the most of my friends had. Like, they had better relationship with their moms and they could confide and ask for advice and guidance. And I would be so jealous of some friends who had that. But I've come to the realization that I just have to accept it as it is, and I can mourn what I wish it had been but wasn't. I can assure you that I am not over this, and you can probably tell, but I am much more accepting now than ever. And I hope that that trend will continue as I take more and more responsibility for my own healing and as I reparent myself. Having kids myself, and in particular having a daughter, has been both painful and also deeply healing for me. And I have had a lot of therapy, which has been tremendously helpful. And maybe I will keep making progress and dealing with this pain for the rest of my life. And it's what it is. I don't mean to dig too deep into all of that. I just wanted to give you a little background or context so that you can hopefully have a better picture about the kind of relationship that I now have with my mom, and you can understand why this is such a big deal for me. As an adult, I have been able to see how much suffering my mom experiences, and it's mainly, well, I think it's about her health, because she was never intentional about taking care of her health previously in her life. I guess that concept was never in her awareness, to take care of herself. So now she's almost 78. She's pretty frail and has a ton of mobility issues. And it's very hard to see and to be around her and see how much she struggles and how often she falls down. And it's really hard to see her struggle so much. And emotionally, I've come to understand that for reasons I may never have access to, she's also very immature. So she tends to blame others for how she feels, and she tends to take a victim role most of the time or all the time. It's really hard for her to see how she can change how she feels or choose how she wants to feel or think about things. And before becoming a coach, I had so many thoughts about what she should do differently for her own sake. And I suggested and gifted books, therapies. I tried to reason with her and show her why, if she only took more responsibility for her well-being, physically and emotionally, everything would be so much better for her and for all of us too, of course, as a consequence. I also tried to explain how her actions in the past and also her current actions impacted me. And I tried to ask her to be the mom that I wanted and that I thought I deserved. And it never got me to anywhere, really. It was super maddening. She also has what I call selective amnesia. So it was very frustrating trying to talk about my feelings about the past with her, because she just doesn't remember most of the things that I am hurt about. I've had a lot of therapy, as I said before, years, and it's been so, so helpful. And also, after becoming a coach, that's when I changed my approach with her drastically. So now, instead of coming to her with suggestions or trying to change her so she has a better life experience, I have a completely different approach. And that's what I wanted to share with you today, because it's been so helpful to shift that. So first of all, whenever I'm going to see her, I make sure that I want to see her and that I like my reasons. So I try to make sure that I am not feeling guilted into doing that, or that I am trying to get something from her that she can't give me, like any approval or validation. I try to make sure that my reasons are what we would call clean, in terms of like there's no emotional entangling with her or with the purpose of that interaction. So, and I don't think she's now an unsafe person to be around for me or for my kids. So that's why I choose to spend time with her. And that's why I want for my kids to also spend time with her, because I don't know how much time she has left. So I make it a point to remind myself that this is who she is, and that I am choosing to spend time with the real her, not with the version I wish she were. And this is super important, because I can so easily forget about that and resort back to that version, ideal version of her that I wish she were. I also plan to feel activated. I know that I'm gonna feel triggered by her at some point during the visit. I don't go in with the expectation that this will be like a very happy, easy, uneventful visit. I remind myself that she is still her and that I am still me, and that she might say or do things that I will feel hurt about or angry or resentful. I remind myself also that it's okay, because I have me now, that I don't need my actual mom to be the loving, nurturing caregiver, because luckily now I am capable of being that to myself. And I have practiced with my own kids, and I am very good at it. I am good at being loving and nurturing and caring, and it's okay. I can do that for me too. And my willingness to be with me doesn't require for me or for my pain to go away. So I can witness a child's pain without making it a problem to be solved or rejecting that pain, which wasn't my own experience growing up. My pain wasn't welcome. My hurt or my discomfort was rejected. And now I have to learn again to welcome it, because it's a normal part of human life. And pain makes sense sometimes. And we can have some instances of that even during the visit, and it's gonna be okay. I also remind myself that I can take a break to decompress anytime that I need it. I don't have to sit through anything anymore. I can just get up and excuse myself and go take some air or for a walk or whatever I need. I am in charge of me. I also try to see her pain too. She is a product of her own trauma and upbringing, and how she may not have been able or strong or ready or aware to change things for herself. And I try to connect with compassion for her. And I also like to think about how I decided to stop that chain for me and for my own kids and grandkids and everyone who comes after. And while I know that for sure I am passing on some stuff, I am doing my best to be intentional and as aware as I can, so some of this crap can stop with me. For example, I don't hit my kids. We don't use physical punishment. I don't have conditions for loving them or wanting to be in their presence, like don't cry or you have to eat everything or otherwise it means that you don't love me. Like, I don't have that conditional approach to accepting and welcoming and loving them. I validate their feelings and I don't make them a problem. I try to communicate with them a lot more than I was communicated with as a child. And when I make mistakes, I apologize. I don't blame my stress or frustration on them. And it's hard work what I'm doing, and it's important work. And I wouldn't have it any other way, but it's tough. And I know I need a lot of love and attention for myself, especially. I know most of my clients and listeners are in a similar position of being like a hinge generation, the inflection point in your lineage where we decided to stop the chain of abuse and dysfunctional parenting, and we are choosing to be more loving and more respectful. And if you resonate with this, you are doing sacred work. You deserve so much self-love and self-compassion. I also like to think about how my own healing not only impacts the generations that will come after me, but I also think how it ripples back to my ancestors. You may or may not resonate with this part, but here's what I like to think. All the women that came before me did what they had the capacity for. They all did their best, even when by my current standards, that best is seriously lacking. I trust that no one wanted to inflict harm intentionally. So many of the women and the humans who came before me had to endure a ton of abuse and pain themselves just to survive. And I am here today because they did. And all of them were innocent and pure babies at the beginning of their journey on Earth. And the kind of human they turned into was not their fault. So me today, breaking some of those patterns, honors every human before me that suffered so I could be here now. I find it beautiful to think about it that way, and it inspires me to try to be more compassionate with my mom and with myself, and I hope it might help you too. Okay, that's it for today's episode. If you're a returning listener, thank you for coming back for yet another episode of The Humans We Are. And if you are new to the show, welcome. I hope you enjoyed this one and it gave you something to reflect upon. My hope is that as you listen to this show, you will find a more loving and understanding way of relating to yourself so you can truly appreciate where you are and who you are. And if you want to make any changes, you can do that from self-love and self-compassion and not from self-judgment or self-rejection. If you have a desire to understand yourself better and stop being your own harshest critic, and you want to start making decisions in your life from unconditional love and not from fear, I can help. If you're curious about working one-on-one with me, I invite you to a free consult that you can book at www.carolafortes.com/consult. In that consult, we will talk about where you are and where you want to go and what it would look like to go together. But it's a zero pressure conversation. If it makes sense to talk about working together, we will take it from there. And if you're not ready to jump on that call yet, but you want to support the show, rating and reviews are the best way wherever you're listening to. I would really appreciate it. And of course, helping me spread the word by sharing this episode with someone who might like it is also a great way to support the show. If you have any comments or suggestions for topics to cover or feedback of any kind that you'd like to send me, you can email me at carola@carolafuertes.com, or you can also find me on Instagram and DM me there. I am at Fuertes Carola. Okay, I will be back soon, and that's all for now, my friends. Bye-bye.